Good evening. Greet you on Jesus' name. It's good to be here once again. It's been quite a few years since I've been in this small congregation. Yeah, there's some new faces I think people I never met before, but there's some of the old familiars. It's good to see each one. It's a blessing to, like I said, come to this house, see the things that didn't change much. And one thing I want to do is what David said, you know, let's rely on the unchanging word of God to strengthen us and help us as we go through life. I was blessed in the songs that we sang. The one song was the Everyday Will I Bless Thee. And as we think of the subject before us tonight, if we can keep that foremost in our mind as we go through life, every day I will bless thee. How that's going to affect our subject this evening. When you think of being a blessing and help to those around us, that expresses a proper view of love and sharing and putting others first. Bonding hearts and family communication. This subject was given to me a few years ago. And when Ernest called, I was like, well, it was good for me to look at this subject again, because Jimmy finds himself a leaky vessel and he thinks life has to go his way and things need to be done the way I think they should be, but this subject is about others, not about myself. We also know, we all are familiar with communication. We'd like to just look at this title backwards. Communication is a simple thing of being making known, to pass from one to another. And this can be done verbally. It can be done with body language, motions. We communicate in many ways. Are they bonding? We have facial expressions that can set a child straight without a word. Or if they were bad and you look at them and you can have that pleasant look, the child knows, okay, I crossed the line, and two things were communicated by just our expressions. We all know what family is. The group of individuals living together under one roof, under one head. Something we, most of us, have all grown up with. We know what the family's like, but many in our world don't have this privilege and this of a family unit. So I believe we're talking to a people who know the value of family, but we also know what is present so many times. And we think of hearts, that inner being, the innermost part of us, that where our feelings and emotions and who we are is. Then this hard word, bonding. Bonding. To become firmly united. The formation of a close personal relationship, especially through frequent and constant association. Like I said, these things are things we are so familiar with, and we learn to work and live with these little quirks at times and things that rise up in our life, and it's just the way they are, and sometimes we could say we cope. That's not bonding. We almost all do some of this bonding and family communication. This communication we almost do effortlessly at times. Subconsciously we express what's in our heart, and our little ones begin to understand what dad is really like, or what mom, there's something unsettled in there, and these expressions just come out from us. We communicate these things. But think of communication, how these efforts we make and the way we live our lives, how long-lasting and what we say has come so effortlessly out of our life, but they have long-lasting effects to the next generation. So this is a very important subject, I believe. This is what's wrong with our communities, our nations. We see the many dysfunctional homes, broken homes, single-parent homes. We don't need to ask why. We know that God's not the ruler of their hearts, and But these very things can make inroads to your life and mine. Things that want to separate us. We become critical and judgmental, and we drive wedges. And it's our carnal nature that craves or thrives off of that. So it's not that we don't have enough of communication. We have many ways to communicate. But sometimes maybe it is we have too many. We have too many ways of communicating. We can be at home, but not at home. We can be around our family, but elsewhere. And that says something to our little ones. We might be present in body, but absent in spirit. Has your wife ever asked you, "Did you hear me?" What? Where were you? Present, but not present. Were you attached to those around you at that point, or were you elsewhere? Like I said, we have more opportunities and abilities than ever before, but are we bonding in those moments? Is it happening? Are our families feeling the connection with dad and mom? I focus on the dads because that's who I am at this point. Enjoying it. Enjoying family life. But also challenged at times. Like I said, this word bonding is probably the hardest part of this title. But as we have Jesus centered of our life, it becomes enjoyable and easy. Easier, I should say. It takes work. But we as Bible-believing, Bible-practicing people, we know where to go to. We realize we don't have it in ourselves, but as we put the Christian values to work in our life, we know what those traits are. It's compassion, kindness, transparency. If these are part of our life, they will become evident to those around us. This is what makes life enjoyable. If you know individuals like that, it ain't hard to open your life up and share your struggles and your problems and your highlights. But if we don't have these, people begin to distance themselves and they become a little wary. So let's have compassion, kindness, and transparency ever evident as a fruit of our life. Like I said, this ain't only communicated with words, but it's expressed in our actions. I'm sure as a child, we all had those experiences where you went to a new church. And there was always a little group that huddled together and whispered. And there's always maybe that stranger that came up and made you feel welcome. Because he had an interest in you. It wasn't about himself. But how do I, as a dad, or as a mother, help my children to feel? Am I expressing those to them that when the visitors do come, that they have value, that they feel they have value? So as we think of Christian values, what do I value? What are my goals? What are my dreams? What are my desires? Every one of us here has them. Is it the interest of others, or is it my own personal interest? Does it include those with whom I live? Those that are underneath my roof? Or my interest in the workplace and not at home or in the mountain? Or we have all these other places we can put our interests, but do they include those that I live with? Am I sharing those interests with those that are under my roof? Or am I finding it more valuable in talking to those that have the same interests? Remember, we were talking about home life. Building bonding relationships at home. Again, transparency. Our children see us just as we are, who we are. We can't mask ourselves to them. They will know us for who we are. So you and mom and dad, the home that you established, is it great? Do your children see it as a great thing? Is that what's the expression coming from my life, or something else out there? something else that is grander or has your attention, or do you look at life and remember how it was and reflect a lot back there? It was better then. If that's my attitude, it's not a bonding relationship. Our homes began with two people who had great interest in each other. They went out of their way to satisfy one another. They spent time and money, possibly sleepless nights to get there for a weekend. And now what? Do we live happy ever after? Or the challenges of life as they press on? We all know what those are like now. We do have sleepless nights. It's not because we're driving from Mississippi. I lived in Mississippi when we first started dating, so I used to leave Friday night and drive all night and try to get here Saturday afternoon. Let's fast forward that. What about 5 years after the marriage? 10, 15, I don't know how long some of y'all were married. We all have a few unmet expectations. Some disappointments, a few poor choices, more responsibility, children. This is real life. But I believe this is where the devil would like to destroy our homes. It's with these things that he wants to destroy the very thing God designed, the Christian home. He loves confusion, chaos, pain. And he wants us to focus on ourselves, what we deserve. And I believe it so many times, this is when our communication is tested. These are the moments that have long-lasting effects when we fail to respond properly the way God wants us to. When we fail to remember those Christian values, we say things that are coming from our carnal nature, and it's so destructive at that time. So I believe that's why this topic is good for me again, to look at bonding hearts at home. Are my communication skills just as passionate as they were 21 years ago? The loving kindness, is it still a spark in my eye? Some of you are anticipating marriage. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. But we, those of us who have been, let's not make it a thing, remember when. But let's enjoy the moments today and continue to build those relationships. Kindle those flames. It takes effort. But it can be done. You might say you came from a poor home or a home where had less than ideal communication and you don't know where to go. They take work. It may take a little more effort. Or you may have come from a good home with strong and good communication. But it's still not a guarantee. It will still take work. So we all have something to do. We all have a part to play in this bonding hearts and communication. And another thing is my responsibility to make it happen and have communication. I can't look at y'all and say it's your response. It's mine. It's personal to make it happen. We can't look at our spouse and say, well, if she did it, then I. No, it's mine. We need to look at it as singular and not as a you first, me second. Like I said, we all were taught from the scripture as far back as we know. So we're without excuse. We have no clue when the first time we heard about this foundation that we need to build off of. But yet it's still a test and a challenge at times to maintain. And there's many in our world that know very little. And there's some that know nothing about this foundation that we have. And we as God's people need to have strong Christian homes so we're the proper light to the world. That they can be drawn as they observe our life. That they see there's a greater power in us than ourselves. There are many books in the New Testament that speak about the Christian living, unity, and personal lives. Think of the book of Ephesians. There's many practical teaching there. In the beginning of chapter 5, my Bible says, being children of the light. Again, we think of transparency. We're not trying to hide something. We don't have nothing within ourselves that we're trying to protect. We're children of the light. Verse chapter 5 talks to the husband and wife relationship. Chapter 6 talks to the children. We won't take time to read the book of Ephesians, but look at that sometimes. And it talks about the church as well. And I believe all these teachings and lessons that apply to the church must first begin in our homes. Because in our home is where in our homes is where the rubber meets the road. To the moms and dads here, how am I allowing the obstacles in life to affect me? We talked about those things, the disappointments that come our way. Do I look at them as obstacles? Do I see them as stepping stones and opportunities to share, to help carry, to relieve? Or do I see them as the negative, like our carnal nature would like us to take into? Or are my actions portraying that I'm a child of Christ? Do my children see me as that? Have you ever found it's easier to relate or communicate nicely to someone who comes into your office once a month or into your whatever place of business you're at? It's easy to put that friendly smile. Or you may receive a phone call and you're at home. Maybe you're a little frustrated and your family knows you are. But you get that call from a friend and you're like, well, hello, how's it going? And everything's grand and glorious in that conversation. Has that ever been a test and a challenge to you? I know that's real to me but at that point, at that moment, we portrayed something to our children. Is Dad two-faced? Is he being hypocritical? Maybe Dad shouldn't have took that call until he worked through some of the things he was facing. And if this becomes a habit, we won't have bonding relationships in our home. You can turn your Bibles to Philippians 2. These are the verses. This is the scripture that came to my mind as I studied this. Very familiar verses. These verses communicate a lifestyle of commitment to each other. First, in our homes, and then elsewhere. When you think of a lifestyle, does a lifestyle have a timeline in your mind? Or does a lifestyle have conditions? Let's read. We're going to read four verses here. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. I believe this is something a child can understand. And I believe that's the way the Christian life is. Our children can understand it. But is that what my life's portraying? The simplicity of simply being, humility here, and meekness and unselfishness. We're so familiar with the opposite. We have this nature that craves what I want. And the world is so good at communicating things that my nature desires. The world tells us to be somebody. Just do it. And it might say, who needs to know about it? Keep it in the dark. Or in relationships that have pain, they'll get over it. Just give them some space. These are feelings that feel good to the carnal nature. Or we think it's ours. I worked for it. We as men become possessive sometime of our things. If any of these four statements are in our heart, it will destroy the bonding we're trying to attain in our homes. These attitudes stand in contrast to the verses we just read. These verses, four little verses here, are full of warmth and love. There's humility, where there's humility, love, and unity, there's that warmth and that it's a drawing. We find these people enjoyable to be around. They're easy to walk beside. It's easy to express our feelings and the things we struggle with. We just share when we know this is evident. I believe there's three little simple steps we can take. As we think of this subject of bonding and communication in our homes, the first two are in verse 2. In our thoughts. It talks about being like-minded. Have you ever been in a world by yourself? And people can't connect with you? It's not in the Christian life here. It's talk about being like-minded. In our thoughts. Because we all realize thoughts lead to actions. Am I attempting to be unified in my thoughts in our homes? Can our children express their feelings freely? They have thoughts. They have questions. When we're like-minded, we'll encourage them for their input. Even though it may be very... we know how children are. But they need to feel free to share their thoughts. Because as they do this at a young age, it helps that bonding. So when you think of them sharing and us being unified in our thoughts, how much selfishness is in unity? There's none. But as they feel free to share, and as we, as husband and wives, our children see our thoughts, mutually sharing and giving, it's okay to disagree, but we got to be able to understand and help each other to become in unity. Also in verse 2, I see an interest. Being of the same love. Like I said, I don't know how many years you were married. But it wasn't hard for you to share the same dreams and the same desires. And you were willing to try to understand her or vice versa. As I thought of that, I thought of Ruth, Naomi and Ruth there in Ruth 1, where she told her, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Ruth seen an action of unselfishness in a thought life. She wanted what her mother-in-law had. She knew her interests were sincere. And she loved it, and she followed it. The third one is in our aims and our purpose. Being of one accord. Our homes unified and knit together, that people can see a common pool, a common cause. We all know what goals are like. Us men think too much of work at times. And those goals have a proper place. But let's not forget those that are at home in the daily routines and the daily cares We need to share those goals as well. Have the interest in that side of the house. So are we as parents unified in our purpose to raise the next generation on the Christian principles and to have unselfish goals? We as dads tend to look ahead maybe a little too far where we want to be. I'm 45. If the last 20 years, when it's fast, if the next 20 years goes fast as the last 20 years, I don't like to think of my age that far out. But do I have goals? And if I do have goals, my children aren't there to fulfill those. I need to be there for my children. I need to be there to care, to support, not to live a selfish lifestyle in order to get where I think I need to be. So what am I communicating in my life? Is it humility? Being transparent? Not as the world says, no one needs to know. Is it with meekness and kindness? Not as the world, they'll get over it. Is it with unselfishness and compassion? Or is it as the world say, it's mine? These challenges can be real. As we communicate to our wife and children, we will express who we are in our heart. Am I simply and merely saying the right thing? We as being taught the Bible from little on up, we know what we are to say verbally. We know have the right words to say. But are we helping them build on these Christian values? I believe the first and most important is by example. Are the traits, again, transparency, kindness, and compassion evident? And do they feel that bond in my life? Again, not in word only, but in expression and actions. So how have I communicated in the past year? How are those around me feeling? Do my daughters and my sons feel closer to Dad? Or do they see Dad otherwise? Our story's not told. But God help us that we maintain these values and live each day. I like the opening there. You know what? We can't change yesterday, but we can purpose in our hearts to be put more effort forth in these bonding relationships. As we think of those we share with, do my thoughts and interests get shared and discussed around the supper table? We live in a world that's full of distractions. And these distractions can come right into our homes. But do you as a father have the time at home when the distractions are not there? Purpose is in your heart at a young age, when your family is still young, to have some time when distractions aren't there. Mealtime, this is just a suggestion, is not a time for phones. Dad can't be answering his phone if you don't want children answering their phone. So what is important? Is supper time important? Or whatever meal you share most commonly together. At our house, it's the supper time that we try to share it together. But this makes a difference in our children's lives. If they see what's really important to Dad and Mom. As I thought of bonding hearts in family communication, a bond is simply a tie joining together in a friendship. When I think of bonding, there's two things I think of. If you ever did ceramic tile or anything like that, you have your board, and you have your piece of towel, and you get that notched trowel, and you put a bonding agent over it. And then you have that towel, you press up against into that, and you let that set, it cannot be separated. You will shatter the towel before you separate that bonding agent. I see that's how the Christian values are in our home. They can't be set. It won't separate us. It's a tight knit. The devil would like to come in there and try to pry it apart, but we have something far stronger than anything he has. Another one is some of our children enjoy tinkering with wood. We just have a little shed there we like to play with. And the other winter, we didn't do any this past winter, but we enjoy making cutting boards. And I brought one with tonight that's not perfect. We like to make little gifts that we give to people. And as I think of the subject on bonding hearts, I had to think of this. This is mahogany, maple, and walnut. Not everybody can be walnut. In ourselves, let's say this is Dad. In himself, he is nothing, nothing beautiful. It's just another piece of wood. But as we blend our homes, as we put these Christian principles in our lives, we become a beautiful thing as a family. But there's something in here that's invisible. In between each of these little pieces of wood is a small strip of glue, a bonding agent. It won't separate, allow these pieces to separate. The board's going to split before the glue breaks. This might be a crude example, but I believe our homes are a lot like this. While making these, we just have a few basic tools. We have a table saw that we start with. And it rips fairly straight, but as you put the boards together, if you think the table saw is good enough, you'll see chatter marks. And there's a couple on here. That's why this one sits in the shed, because has a couple flaws in. But it's not good enough for the table saw, so we run it through the planer, being that I don't have a joiner, to remove all those rough edges. But maple's relatively hard, and that's why some chatter marks stayed in there. But we as humans are a lot the same way as this cutting board. We have a lot of chatter marks, a few rough edges. But as we blend together and put the characteristics out of Ephesians and Philippians here into our life, we become beautiful. But in this beauty, or in this life, it's so easy for me to pick up this board and look for the flaws. In our homes, if we're more interested in pointing out the flaws, we're going to destroy the beauty of the board. It's easy to see those areas. And as we focus on them, they become more evident and more repulsive. And we think we have to be the fix and the cure. So if we would remove one of these strips, the beauty would go away. But that's what we do sometimes with our words, with our actions. We're trying to remove, not blend and change. Each piece of board accents the other. Is that what our homes are doing? Am I letting the shaping of others influence my wife and making it my life and making it beautiful? So this glue is God's word. Am I making it affect my life? Letting it change me first. And then as I walk with others, it also beautifies their life. And family life becomes enjoyable and a blessing to each other and to the community and the church. As after we get done sanding and finishing it, we also apply an oil. In Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill will to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. So as we think of love, I like to think of that as the oil that we put over this to preserve it and protect it. Is that expressed in our homes? Is that freely flowing from my life? Or is there a part of my life that I want to keep to myself, to try to maintain myself? If it is, it's not going to be a bonding agent. It's not going to heal. It's not going to build. Let's not. So this evening, as you go through the remainder of this week, the remainder of the year, let's not focus on the imperfection, the chatter marks, the glue joint that didn't quite get right. Let's put away that critical attitude. Let's fill our life with love that our children can grow and feel used and appreciated. Feel loved and not used and appreciated. So this week, the challenge I leave with you is mom and dad. Let's make home the best place on earth. Because the fruit and the light that comes from that goes out and affects our communities and those that we come in contact with. But it don't stop with our children. It affects another generation. And it's passed on. And so when we get to glory, that we can hear those words, well done, because we have pride, love, and these fruits in our homes, and it went beyond. So let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we pause before you this evening, Lord, we want to thank you for this another day, a day of rest and worship. Lord, thank you for the privilege it was to set the cares of life aside and to come to your house this morning and once again this evening and look into your word and find strength and help to face life. Lord, we know that we're human, and Lord, help us not to think we can face life on our own, but Lord, help us to walk close by your word and apply the truths we hear from it to our lives. And as we think of as we looked at our homes tonight, Lord, thank you for each member that makes up our homes, whether they're young or older. Lord, just give us parents a heart of love and compassion and light that would give our children the warmth they need and the love they need to grow, to be little vessels for you. Lord, just be with the little congregation here, Lord, as they go in and out these doors, as the community looks on. Lord, help them to realize that they're walking with you and that true light shines out that might draw more to have that relationship with you. Lord, just go with us. Bless the remainder of this day. Lord, help us to walk with you this week. And most of all, not forget that you are coming back and you're going to come back for a people that is anticipating your return. Lord, help us to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.